Okay, it's a custom that we have to end in a good way. I've always tried to end everything in a good way. So we're on page Kuf Mem Aleph. We're skipping a little bit. Talking about the Indian of Mezuzah and Chanukah. We're on page Kuf Mem Aleph. And we're going to be talking about Simcha. About joy. Simcha. And it's a wonderful way to end the summer and to come into Elul Mitzvah Hashem, to Yom Tovim. We have a lot to do, so we're going to try to move quickly. It might take an extra 10-15 minutes if someone has to leave. Obviously, they should leave. All that we've been learning about the entire summer is leading up to this change that could take place in our lives in a very, very positive way if we try, on our level, to begin to apply some of these things that we've been talking about to day-to-day living. So on page Kuf Mem Aleph, it says, Yud Ches. Who, let's look at Reish Zayin in the Hebrew down below. The Tzaddikim and Chazal have taught us that the more that a person lives in this way, meaning the way that we've been talking about, he lifts himself up higher more and more. To the degree that a person lifts himself up above the smallnesses of this world, to that degree the person will experience more and more simcha. And he's going to go on and explain why is that. So, back on top, I'm sorry for that switching with the Yiddish and the Hebrew and so on, but that's how it was given. So back on top on page, on Kuf Mem Aleph, Ve'elukim, like the fifth line, Ve'elukim also Sa'adam Yasha. That's the Yisayit. The Yisayit is that Shlomo HaMelech said that the Baruch Shalom created us in a way that is Yasha. Man innately is good. Man innately has Yashas. That's wonderful, but at the same time, if man is not living in a way that is Yasha, that state of e-yashvus, not living in a way of yashvus, means that the person, that the human being is living in a way that is inconsistent with who he really is, and is inconsistent with the Bria, with how Hashem Yisbaruch made the world. When the Gemara says that every creature does its job, and everything does what it's supposed to do, v'hakol baro l'chvaydai, so the human being was also created, Elokim asas Adam Yasha, and that yashvus demands of us a certain way of life, and if we don't live in accordance to that inner sense of Yashrus, so then there's unhappiness. And that's where the unhappiness of the world comes from. The main source of unhappiness in the world, as we're going to learn, and as everybody here knows, the main source of unhappiness are not the events and circumstances that take place in our lives. Because you can go into a nursing home, and there could be two old people sitting in the same room or the same hallway, and one could have had a much more bitter life than the other, and the one with the more bitter life is smiling from ear to ear and calling everybody sweetheart and darling and singing, you know, with the girls that came to visit. And there's another one that went through a life that wasn't anywhere as bitter as the other person. And you know, says, get out of here, leave me alone, screaming and yelling and carrying on and angry and bitter and so on. This one had a worse life than the other. So we see that the circumstances, the events of a person's life, are not kovei, do not determine the level of a person's happiness. So, what does determine the happiness of a person? What's the chilek? Why is it that you see one person is much happier than the other? So it would be very foolish and immature to say, oh well, she's much happier than me because she was able to get to that sale that I couldn't get to. Or he's much happier than me because he was able to get the car that I can't afford. Or they were able to get the chassan or the kala, or they're able to get this or that, and therefore that person's happier than I. Everybody knows that that's ridiculous, because you can go to some little vinkel, some little corner in Gula and Meisharim and look at a Jew or anywhere here, and a Jew that doesn't have anything, that has mamish nothing, that lives in total poverty and is filled with simcha. And it's filled with some. Adarabha, there's more simcha usually to be found by the people who have less. Usually. So, clearly it's not a question of what are the events or the possessions or the things that give this person happiness. Only a fool would think that that's true. And yet most people in the world try to achieve happiness through those things and through having more and doing more and being more and so on. Happiness comes from a person living in a way that's consistent with a natural, deep sense of yashus of how the Rebbeinu Shlom created him. Elokim also, so we're on page Kuf Mem Aleph, on the left-hand side, around 5-6 lines down. Elokim also, so Adam Yashav, Vehema Bikshu Cheshbein Nisram. So Shlomo HaMelech said that the Rebbeinu Shlom created us in a way that's perfectly straight, with yashus. Vehema, however, man, since he has free choice, seeks all different cheshbeinus. He's looking for all different things. Echad mihadvarim shenichlal b'hayashvus hazehu, one of the things that's included, that's part of this yashvus, is lahavin ulahargish she'emes. Is to sense and to feel. Man has the natural ability to sense and to know what is true. So let's read that in the Hebrew. That's on the next side, I'm sorry. And kuf ben bay is reish ches, in the note, reish ches. So we'll read it in the Hebrew. The little short Yiddish ones, it's not kedai, but the longer ones we have to do. So look at Reish Ches. Shaha'ilam hazeh, man, in other words, each and every one of us knows intuitively, deep down, Shaha'ilam hazeh hu rak praise the bilvad, that this entire world is only a hallway towards something that's real. Ve'efshe lach teif kan ilamis milayim mamish, and that a person, Hashem created us in a way that's Yashu, and therefore we intuitively and deeply know that in this world we have the opportunity to chap all mamish elamis malayin, mamish, unbelievable amount of Torah mitzvahs that a person can chap in this world, ayde kol mashu sha'isa mitzvah tzayin Hashem, with every little drop that a person does in what? The Torah, with tefillah, davening, tahara, purifying oneself, amidus, working amidus, the kol chelka avaydus Hashem is baruch. That yashrus inside of us is nurtured by any act or any word or any thought that is yashrus. Every word of Torah is yashrus. Every word of davening is yashrus. Every effort to work on amidus is drawing ourselves closer to that, to what, to who we really are, which is yashrus. And therefore, uli yishrei leiv simcha. Joy is the result of a person being who he could be. That's why we spoke about this a little bit before. That's why one of the greatest mistakes that people make, and it comes from such a misunderstanding. One of the greatest mistakes is that when a person thinks of tshuva, like now we benched Rosh Chodesh Elul, so people think, that means that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is not far away. And many people, when they think about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it causes them to be afraid, to be worried, to be sad and depressed. Some degree of worry is certainly in order, but not, God forbid, to lead to sadness or marashchara, depression, chas v'chalila. And tshuva is usually associated, and a lot of it has to do with what we heard when we were kids. Tshuva is usually associated with something very, very morose and dark and foreboding, and therefore there's not, for many, many people, there's very little reason, there's very little incentive to do tshuva, because we so desperately are looking for simcha. And most of us, when Yom Kippur is finished, you know, there's a big sigh of relief that goes up from the world, that, oh, Baruch Hashem, we're past that business, and let's get on with the dance and the simcha. So, that's totally wrong. Tshuva is the source of the greatest joy, the greatest simcha. In Rav Kook's Arzat Shuvah, he has Torah on this inyan of the joy that comes with a person returning to Hashem, because then Shuvah means that I'm returning to who I am, I'm returning to Yashvus. And when a person is who he could be and who he's supposed to be, then he's besimcha. On the simplest level, we understand that when a person is amongst people who he feels are his own, and when he's doing a job, he's at some sort of a job where he feels it's something which is, it relates to him, and he feels productive, that generates within him simcha. The every avera that a person does means that he's not coordinated, there's something out of whack, there's something out of sync, and that causes terrible sadness and depression. So he says, every little Torah, every little bit of davening, every little bit of tikkun amidus, the kol chalik levedus Hashem, b'chol yom, ev sheliskos lachtov, yom sholim shalasiyas nachas ruach Hashem Yisroch. Every single day, with on a regular day, a person is able to grab onto an ocean of nachas ruach Hashem. B'chol matziv, ev shelifal, eilmas mleim shalasiyas nachas ruach Hashem Yisroch. Behirus hakarvuzun nikres yashvus. This is called yashvus. That's what Yashrus is. That's why, how do we begin the Yom HaKadosh? Kol Nidrei. Kol Nidrei, Yom Kippur begins with Or Zeru Latzadik Lishrei Leiv Simcha. Or Zeru Latzadik, that's how you begin Yom Kippur. Or Zeru Latzadik Lishrei Leiv Simcha. Or Zeru Latzadik means that the light is planted within the tzadik. Or Zeru Latzadik, which means what we were talking about this past Shabbos, that everything is there inside of us. It's all there. Or is there Rula Tzadik? Hashem planted within each and every one of us a Yiddish heart, a neshama, a Jewish mind, schus avos, all kinds of good stuff. There's so much good stuff inside of us. There's so much stuff in our genes, in our neshamas. There's so much stuff. Everything is there. Or is there Rula Tzadik? And the whole in of Yom Kippur is to try to clear away the artificial junk that is accumulated over that good stuff. And that's why we begin Yom Kippur with Or Zeru Latzadik Uli Yishrei Leiv Simcha. Or Zeru Latzadik is that we're asking for that Hashem's book should help us, that we should be able to discover within ourselves that which was that natural Yashus which Hashem created within us from the beginning. That's always been there, but we've been so confused by the stuff that's accumulated, by all the junk that's accumulated on our hearts, that we don't ever come in touch with that. Yom Kippur is an amazing opportunity for that. The whole time of Elul, of Hashanah Yom Kippur is an amazing, amazing time of Uli Yishrei Leiv Simcha. That's why Yom Kippur is that day where we remove ourselves from all of the silliness and smallness of this world, and we have the amazing ability to reach that point. That's called Yashrus. What's Yashrus? When a person remembers the Tachlis. It's the Iker, and he remembers what's important. Why is he here? It's Ashlichus. And what was he sent for? Avalaha Hatzilo Vahima Bikshu Cheshbon Yisrael. What causes sadness in our lives is this: is man seeking the Cheshbon Yisrael? He gets off track, and he looks for other things, and he believes that those other things are going to give him simcha. So as a result of that, Niyim Uvubalim, we get confused, Mutradim, preoccupied, Asukim and Mu'urbavim, totally mixed up and bewildered. And this is what brings all of the feelings of sadness and bitterness into life. However, Uli Yishrei Leiv Simcha. Uli Yishrei Leiv Simcha. Those who have a straight heart have joy. Uli Yishrei Leiv Simcha. And that's all I was talking about this past Shabbos. That was the whole thing that we were talking about. To see that it's all there, everything is there, but there's such a covering and a craziness and a crookedness that we begin to believe that other things outside of ourselves are going to give us joy. Even when there's a person, and I've had this very painful discussion with many people over the years. So you know there'll be let's say God forbid a woman who can't have children, Hashem Yirachem. She can't have children. It's not shaykh, and she's past that age, and it's not. It looks. It's not going to happen. It doesn't look like Apidar Chateva. It's going to happen. So, I've even spoken to gatherings of couples like this in the past, which has been a difficult thing for me to do. Baruch Hashem, you know, we kind of hard, we have children, and it's very hard. I always like to be able to empathize and to feel it's impossible. Unless, if you have children, it's impossible to know what's it like for a woman who doesn't have a child. It's impossible to understand the emptiness and the pain. So it's always uncomfortable to talk especially for men, to talk to a group of people like this. Hakapanim, I've had to do it. And it's what's most important, I believe, the most important thing to convey to these couples is that you have an internal tachlis, an internal usefulness. And there are many, many chazals and mefarshim which explain this, that the belief that even when it comes to such a thing which is so precious and important, and there's so much in Yiddishkeit that revolves around this, if Hashem Baruch has decreed that you're not going to have a child, so for you to believe that your simcha depends upon a child, and without a child, you can't achieve joy or meaningfulness, is a terrible, terrible mistake. It can't be. It's not shaykh. It can't be. Although Hashem should bless all of us and we should never be tested with such nisyanis, but it can't be. Or you have a woman that Nabuch, she couldn't find, you know, she didn't get a shidduch, a young man, and they're looking for years, and what am I, and who am I, my whole life is nothing, and there's no simchas achaim. It's very hard, and Hashem's book shouldn't give us these nisyanis, but it can't be. It can't be that your simchas achaim depends upon even marriage or having a child. That's not true. It's not true. And whenever one's simcha is dependent upon others, either other things or other people, but not the internal joy of living in accordance to Hashem's will and having that yashus halev, so then when things don't work out in the outside, so then you're going to be schlepped up and down by all of the events and people and circumstances and so on. You could be in the best mood, you could be in the greatest mood, and then, you know, someone tells you something, or you heard something that they said about you, and then that's the end of the good mood. And then the rest of the day, it's fafal. The rest of the day, you look around, the long face, and all of life is not good, and so on and so forth. Or if somebody works someplace, it happens a lot of time with men, that they work in a certain company, and they heard that the boss didn't like something, and he gave the other one a raise, a chais. All of these things, where a person's simchas achaim is always depending upon external things, so then you never know what's going to hit. You know, you don't know what's going to happen next. Well, who knows what's going to happen next? So that's means to have a uli yishrei lei of simcha. Kfima she zoichim lahosig yoise yashrus, kach zoichim lahosig yoise simcha. That's really it. To the degree that one accumulates more and more yashrus, to that degree there's more and more simcha. Ulachain, therefore, pekuda Hashem yishar misam chileiv. That's why it says in Pasuk that the mitzvahs of Hashem are straight. They bring straightness to our life. And therefore, they are misam chelev. They bring joy to the heart. It's only through Torah can a Jew reach yashrus. There's no other way to reach yashrus. And that, therefore, that fills the person with simcha. If a person thinks about this, any little time, any little drop of Torah that I'm zoicha to learn, any letter in the Gemara, any little bit that I'm able to clarify the inyan that I'm learning in my head, to come to a clearer understanding of what I'm learning, and the more clarity I have in the halacha that I'm learning, this helps us to reach great yashrus, tremendous yashrus. And that gives us simcha. Every little drop of Torah on the top. It's on Kufman Beis. It continues on top. The Hebrew is on. You don't have to go back. It's right here on top. The third line. That means that every single drop of Torah that you and I learn has in it the Kedusha of Maimon Har Sinai. That Hashem is giving that to us. It's a gift. And therefore, since every word of Torah that I'm learning is a little bit of a Maimon Har Sinai, it's a little bit of a Shavuos, every Torah that I learn, therefore, when the Torah was given, it was given with what? With Kailos Abrokim, thunder and lightning. And everybody knows that the Chazal tell us why does it thunder, and why do we have that scary thing going on called thunder and lightning? You remember at the beginning of the summer it was such an interesting thing. It was like cannons. It was boom, boom, boom. So either that just causes you to hide under the bed or the table or something, or what Chazal said, that it was given lefashet as a kmumi shebelev. It has the ability to straighten out the crookedness of the heart. Sometimes a person is just going about, you know, forgetting his tachlis in the world, and the Rosh has different ways of boom, of reminding you that there's something beyond. So therefore, the ultimate purpose, the Gemara says, like, why do we have such a thing in the world called thunder? Like, what's the tachlis of that? It just seems like an odd thing. So the Gemara says that is the fashit esak mumis shibalei, that straightens the crookedness of a heart. A person thinks he's the balabas, and all of a sudden he remembers that there's a Rabbanu Shalom. So every time you're learning Torah, it's like a little bit of thunder that comes with every piece of Torah. Every time you're learning Torah, there's a little bit of thunder and lightning. Every time that a Jew does a mitzvah, if he's thinking the right thoughts, obviously, it comes together in a package, like just like it was given at Har Sinai. Every mitzvah comes along with thunder and lightning. And the same way that thunder has this ability to remind you of your tachlis, and to all of a sudden to straighten out the crookedness, so too, every single word of Torah and every mitzvah has that ability. Right, Yehi Yochid had Zayin Cheshbonis Rabbim. When Shlomo Melech said, "Halokim Osa Saldim Yosher VeHema Bikshu Cheshbonis," everybody, it means everybody has their own Cheshbonis. Everybody has their own Cheshbonis of what causes them to get crooked, of what causes them to be led astray from that Yashrus. There's no shortage of things that are surrounding us and that are troubling us and preoccupying us. V'yesh b'zahar be'sivus. In the bottom of the right column. V'yesh b'zahar be'sibas v'tamim. Loma kol mashu shemagdim ha'blik u'miskav mal ha'emes. And there are many explanations for this. Why is it that every little drop that I lift, that we lift our hashkaf up, we lift up our way of looking at things, right? Our blik, we lift it up to a higher place like we've been talking about the entire summer. And we get closer, we live lives in a way that's miskav mal ha'emes. Mismalim simcha, that fills us with simcha, with joy. There are many explanations for this. V'nazgi b'ktsar b'z Hashem shnei sivas. Let's talk, he says, about two reasons. Why this whole hashkafas oilam that we've been talking about this summer, why is it that this lifts us up to a place where we're able to have so much simcha? There are two main reasons. One, diyadu mechazal ha'kadoshim etzadikim, techeila godol meha'atzvas v'hamiriris sh'oivel ha'yehudi. So Chazal and Tzaddikim have taught that a large percentage of the sadness and the bitterness that a person experiences in life, ba michalishas hadas v'agmas nefesh, comes from the michalishas hadas and the agmas nefesh, the anguish me'inyanim ketanim. Really, most of the michalishas hadas and agmas nefesh comes from small things. V'loy mehadvar makoshim agdayim chasashom chasashom. Now, God forbid, it shouldn't be, right? But from the bigger things in life, God forbid, if something goes wrong. Okay, there are big things. But Hashem has taught us that through Chazal and the Tzaddikim, that really most of the Agmas Nefesh and sadness and the Merius and bitterness is not from the major things. It's from the small things. Our generation is really a proof of that. That to a large extent, I mean, again, everybody has peklech, and certainly yodei adam aras nafsho. Everybody has peklech, but there's never been a time like ours, Baruch Hashem, where the peklech have been as small as they are. Again, everybody, there are different inyanim in the world, and there's tsaros in the world, and God forbid sickness and there's tsaros. But day to day, it's not as much a question of survival as it used to be. Day to day, whether I'm going to eat today. It's a question of how much can I prevent myself from eating, right? Not whether I'm going to eat today and whether, you know, and people dying when they were 50 and to live to 60 was Shalei B'dech HaTeva and you wouldn't see Mishpocha for years and so on and so forth. But Baruch Hashem, we're dealing more with small peklach in our generation to a large extent. Smaller peklach. And there's never been such atzvus and atzvus. I mean, the atzvus, the mirrors, the sadness is meridik. Meridik. B'chol ha'inyanim. In all, it makes no difference whether, whichever chug, wherever people, wherever you see, it's just the mirrors, the sadness. You see it, you feel it, it surrounds you. It surrounds you. You know, I remember my father never, I always had a bad habit. Many bad habits, but one in particular that my father didn't like was I would walk, I dragged my feet. Like my shoes were rubbing against the... And my father, I couldn't take that. He would always say to me, "What are you, an alter mensch? What's the matter with you? What do you walk like that?" Or like you see, sometimes you'll see a bacher. He's from Grodno in 1928. What's the matter with you? You're younger. Come on, stand up tall. What are you slapping over there? You have peckle. What's your peckle? You should, everything your mommy does for you. What are you slapping heavy? You look around. You see something more comes out. Like you don't have like something. It's like, what is it? You know, my father couldn't take when I, and he still doesn't like it if I walk like this. You know, I tell him, I think I'm getting old, Dad. He says, yeah, my father, Baruch Hashem, still looks. No. and you don't drag your feet and you walk, and when you see people, you besimcha, and what kind of a thing is this? What do you have? But never have you seen, like, it looks like people are carrying such peklach. Such peklach. I'm not talking about the kind of peklach that their families in Eretz Yisrael from last week that are carrying right now, or other yechidim that have to go through whatever they've gone through. And that's what he says here in parentheses, we understand. But that's not where the main Agmas Nefesh comes from in life. The main Agmas Nefesh, that's why you see big, big people, even with a big peklach, they're still able to live besimcha. Everybody, they have a brokenness, because there's, God forbid, if something happens, especially someone that you love, so there's a piece that's always missing. But day to day, they put themselves together. I saw by my Rebbe Zechat Sagbaracha that what he went through and what he lost, and the Simcha Zechaim was something which is lahafli. So you can't say that it's even from the big peklach that a person loses the Simcha. It has to do with something inside the person. But what he's saying here is that the Torah has taught us that most of the Agnes Nefesh, sadness and bitterness, comes from the small peklach. The left side column, third line. Everybody has his difficulties. Sometimes there's shrekite, sometimes there are difficulties that one can see with panasa, kin, children, and so on. And sometimes there are things that nobody else knows, but he has his shrekite. He has his problems. You can look at a person, you see there's the happiest person in the world, and then in the house there could be unhappiness, a husband and wife, and different sorrows that nobody knows about. He says, Vosmevet Heche is the alle kittens for shiflis fanempnish ken platz. That the higher a person gets, the bigger a person is, and as we've been learning this entire summer, the more he's standing up in on the mountain or flying in the airplane, and he looks at things from that perspective. So then what? Then the less the kitness and the shiflus occupies a place in his life. The less it doesn't become important to him. The kitness, the kleinigkeit, and the small things that throw regular people completely out of balance. The alakitness, the alamidus, he says, is bringing noch atzvos marius. That we see that really the kitness, the smallness, and all the narishkeit that cause more and more sadness and more bitterness. Chazal HaKadosh Aimrim Shalom Hazek Kula Ktata. You know why? Because Chazal have said it very, very, very clearly in their own amazing words. Chazal taught us that this world is Kula Ktata. This world is filled with machlaikas, with disagreements. Even that, I see this happens kaseido. I see like the nicest people. Like, you see this in shul. Shul's like an interesting place, like a little world. Shul's like a little world. And I have to deal with it. Baruch Hashem, I have the most beautiful, beautiful, wonderful shul, beautiful balabatim. And sometimes I see someone like this, the sweetest, softest, kindest soul in the world that like can't hurt a fly, and like somehow like someone makes like a machlokes with him, and you just like over like nothing, that he would never do anything to hurt anyone or malicious, but like he gets like into something, and then there's a taina. Oh, you're on his side. And he's like, I don't know. I came for shul shoes. I don't like, I'm not on anybody's side. I just wanted to have a piece of herring and sing this melodav. Like, I don't know what's going on. And I see this kaseida, machleik is a ketata, and you do hold for me, you don't hold for me. And everybody gets into, this world is a place that's filled with machleikas. Even the nicest people, like the machleikas, someone has tainas. It's just kule ketata. That's what this world is. It's kule atzvas. And this world is a world that's kule atzvas. It's sad. It's sad. It's a world where there's so much sadness and kulei sheker, and there's so much falsehood. That's what he's basing this upon. Of course, the malachim that didn't want the world to be created. You all remember the Chazal say that the angels did not want the world to be created. They said, "Why should man is filled with kulei ketata, kulei sheker?" Right? And the Baruch Shalom went ahead and created man. But that's true. It's true. It's a good taina. The malachim had a good. The malachim said that the world is filled with sheker and ketata. Therefore, Chazal have taught that sadness and laziness is a subcategory of sadness when a person doesn't feel like doing anything. Dragging your feet is a symptom of sadness. Laziness is when you don't have a cheshek. All of that comes from the Yisayt HaOfer, because Ofer is the earth. And earthliness is, by definition, a place of sheker, of sadness. For the person who takes it seriously, for the person who gets caught up in it, it drags your mamish down. Let's look in the Hebrew down, Reish Yud Gimel. Therefore, the more that a person is immersed in the dirt. Now, dirt here doesn't mean something disgusting. It means in earthly things. The more seriously you take earthly things. I wasn't invited. So nafki mina. I got with men with this business with aliyahs. This is something. So my wife said today that she believes with all of her heart that if women had this in young, they would never get like that. It can't be. But you have no idea the agnus nefesh that when it comes to aliyahs or it comes to yard sites and davening for the omid. I don't know if any of your husbands are like bali tefillah or aspiring bali tefillah, or if they have a touch of that illness that comes with being like a bali tefillah. That, you know, it's a crazy thing what we have, like, you know, and then everybody has to go tell the gabbai, like, you gave him to daven? Well, what kind of a bali tefillah is that? And then what's the matter? He has 12 yard sites. How come he's davening again? And then it's like everything is crazy with this stuff. Over what? And you know how many times I've said a thousand times that the tzaddikim have taught that if you want to give your father who passed on to the next world, if you want to give him real nachas ruach, don't get into any machlokes. Give somebody else the aliyah. Give somebody else the daven for the omid. But you'll see, kisei, the men will fight over these in yonim, and they'll make all kinds of machlokes for what? And they'll say, for my father, not for me. I don't care about COVID at all. Every time I have somebody come and talk about this, I know that it always begins with that sentence. Rabbi, believe me, myself, I don't care about COVID. Ask anybody. It means nothing to me. My father. So I said, your father wants you not to, your father doesn't want you to get into machlokes with anybody. That's what your father would like, that you should have it, it should be a quiet Shabbos. So don't make machlokes, but it's so hard for these inyanim. And it becomes like your whole life, like it's like the biggest inyan. And he got mafti, I didn't get mafti, and this like becomes crazy. And it's in every shul. The women don't see this. It's like, you know, it's not, this doesn't, you don't see this. But it's like in every shul, these inyanim that are going on, that cause such unhappiness in a place that's supposed to be filled with happiness. And then it comes to the simcha, also between the mechutanim, different inyanim, you know, all kinds of things that could happen, that could go wrong, and slight little things that can cause kepedis for 30, 40, 50 years, that don't allow a person to have real nachas in their children and their grandchildren. For what? He says, the more a person is immersed in this world, in physical things in this world, and they become connected and attached to that offer and that art, the more atzlus there is, the more sadness, the more laziness. Laziness means lack of cheshek. The more you approach Hashem's world, the closer you are to Hashem's world. It says, "Ois v'chedvim kam b'davar shalom" is only simcha. I was my niece Shabbos Shavuot was last week, so I was talking Friday night to the Chasna Kala. We were talking, so I said that's really the meaning of kisamecha yitzamech tesamech reim kisamecha yitzircha b'ganeid mikedem, that we have such an amazing bracha that we're giving a bracha to Chasna Kala, that you should be able to rejoice the way that Adam Chava did in Gan Eden before everything went wrong, in that state of yashus, right? So it's such an amazing bracha. We don't have to buy anything else to say because the Gemara says in Chagiga that Hashem is crying. When Mistar and Tifka Nafs, Hashem cries. So the Gemara says, how could that be? What do you tell me that Hashem is sad? It says in Pasuk, this Pasuk says, Oiz v'chedva v'mkaymai, that by Hashem it's only simcha, it's only joy. So what do you mean Hashem cries? So the Gemara answers, according to the explanation of Rabbeinu Chananel, the Gemara's answer is Habbate Geroy. Habbate Geroy means that on the outside, the Hashem is crying, but on the inside, by Hashem, there's only joy, pure joy. What does that mean? So I explained to the Chasam Kala that, you know, in life there are things that cause, there are difficulties, and on the outside there's going to be crying, but when the kesher between two people is in that place that's called b'mistar, mamish, in the deepest place, so then that simcha, that's something which is unchanging. When there's love between a chasam and kala, a real simcha in a relationship, so then the things that take place on the outside, those difficulties, all the circumstances and events that cause disruptions and cause aggravation, but the underlying reality is oiz v'chedva b'mkaymai. And the reason that we can always achieve that joy is because that's never ever changed. Because no matter what's happened in the world, even the terrible tragedies that take place in the world have never changed the inner reality that by Hashem it's pure joy. So what he's explaining here is, to the degree that one brings himself closer to that inner chamber, to what's my tachlis in this world, and living a life filled with that thought of tachlis, as we're learning the whole summer, to that degree one is gaining entrance deeper and deeper to the king's chamber. And when you come to that inner chamber, you discover only joy. And therefore nothing can take away the inner joy of a person who's connected to, who lives in Hashem's world. Because by Hashem, it's ois v'chedva b'mkoyma. Ois v'chedva b'mkoyma. Ukefi ma shemevinim, sheha'olam hazeh hu kivehi luladamya. To the degree that one understands that this whole world, when we look at the world, it's like a wedding. Shenigma belaila echad, meaning that if you're depending upon this simcha, it's like if your entire plan for a shidduch has to do with the chasna, and not with the chasna kala's lives, you know you're a total lunatic. But people do that kaseida. How will it look the chasna? But that's the craziest thing in the world. That's the craziest thing in the world. How will look at the chasna? What's the big nafkin? How will look at the chasna? So you want to be able to show that the other side looks like this, and we have like that. The whole thing is 5 hours. A few hours. The whole thing is a few hours. And for that, a whole big thing. That's why the Gemara says such a lashon, that this world is like a wedding. Like everybody gets like all crazy in the pictures, and you think there's like something so chashuv, and then a few hours later, it's like, you know, everybody's like packing up, and you walk in, you see like, some guy like mopping the floor, and you know, it's like this. That's it. And now they have Bez Hashem, they have their lives ahead of them. That's the tachlis. Who's the chasm, who's the kala, what does it look like? It's so hard to have your head on straight. You know, everybody's worried, what's it going to look like about the chasna? It's not after what it looks like about the chasna. What would be if the chasna were with 10 Jews, on the lawn over there, and with some candles? It would be very, very nice. Huh? It would be very nice, chasna. And he's going to talk about chasnas in a second. But this is, the whole world is stami. It's like it's a wedding. It's a wedding. Everybody gets mishug and crazy. It's like so serious, like so important. You know how, you know, if you get into the dance, you think all this stuff that goes on, like that goes on in chasnas. It's all the whole world is like that. That's why the Gemara says such a lashon, that this whole life is like a wedding. But what? Shenigma b'layla echad. It's finished in one night. What is the whole thing? A person is in a high place. These things are not teifus amokim. They just don't take up space in his brain. I don't care what this person said about me. What's the nafkin what he said about me? Also, what this person did. What do I have to talk about? What this person did or think about what that person did? What's the nafkin in it? That person is so successful. And that person doesn't hold for me. It's all total narishkeit. The continuation is on Kuf Mem Gimel. So move quickly. We have to go a little bit over tonight. I mean, anybody should leave if you have to leave. We have to go a little bit over. His kind of as Hashem has brought Hamaisa Yadua. Here now we're going to talk about a wedding. Listen to this, Maisa. Be'elchi Yid Yushalayim. This is actually something that happened that Reb Tzimaya knew. This he said there was an Elchi Yid Yushalayim. She'also Chasna Le'echem Yilad. He was making a wedding. Try to imagine you or I being in this situation. Listen to this story. So there was a Yid in Yushalayim that was making a Chasna for one of his children. V'hakol ha'yamuchan, everything was ready. Kshabol ha'ulam, and they came to the wedding hall. This can only happen in Yushalayim. Listen to this. When they came to the wedding hall, the Baal Ha'ulam, the caterer, booked two weddings the same night. That's the Yerushalayim, that's Netzisod the Gemaisa. He booked two chasnas the same night. They come in and they see like things are in progress. There's stuff's going on already for the other couple. Could you imagine? What happened nowadays? I don't know, lawsuits and this and that, the whole thing. Move on, we understand. Sheberega harishon zen nisayin asum. That first moment when the family came in to the hall, it must have been an unbelievable nisayin. Vos heist geshik tazmanis. You know, we sent invitations. And geruf an oilum. And we called an oilum. We invited an oilum. Alles is great. Everything is ready. Vos tutman yet. So what are we going to do? And the gateman, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? Where are we going to go? How are you talking? As a nishtachray, as a person, a normal reaction would be to say, "What kind of, are you crazy to say to caterer? What kind of a, you, how can you do such a thing? What kind of a balachray is you and to give a mishaberich?" And shum shemayim, this is like the heavens are mourning, right, over such a thing. Aval Hashem is baruch ozalai, so he knows about this case, and Hashem helped this Jew. V'his gaber v'loy tzak, he didn't raise his voice. V'loy kos, he didn't get angry. Rag b'mehiris, very quickly, diber meza han halosh leitz, he found some base medrash, some yeshiva somewhere, and very quickly he made the connections. V'also maher achasna base medrash, and they quickly made a chasna, he made his child's chasna in that place, someplace else. Kamish evshalas is whatever they could do, v'evshalahar chabe b'chol prate anisai, and he said really, a lot of time could be spent going into all the details of what the nisyonos are, with the people coming and so on and so forth, and all that happened. You understand there's a tremendous, tremendous nisan. Look down by Reis Tazayin. He said, okay, this is a gewaldig nisan. But let's think, he said for a moment. A couple years after this chasna, this funny chasna that took place in some yeshiva and everybody had to be redirected, this funny chasna. A couple of years later, and everything is going okay, and that couple, the misfortunate chasna kala that had to get married in that yeshiva, that everything's going well, and not only that, but they're matzliach. Yeah, they're doing fine. That couple that was married in the second place. Who remembers it? It wasn't in the fancy place. Who cares? Lemiza echpas. Who cares? Lemiza mafri. Who does it bother? Kol agmas nefesh v'chalisha zadash shalhayu beis hachasna. All of the agmas nefesh and the chalisha zadash that was at the chasna. Hakolina kolkach lo mishana. It became completely. It doesn't make a difference. The kids are walking around with a stroller, Bez Hashem, and they're doing it. Everything's fine. What's an afkir minute? And you have people that were married in the most spectacular place. I think I told this to you once. That I'm sure you know what I'm going to say. This Meister, that when I was still a bachus, I was. I was married already. Yeah, we were married because I remember telling someone. So we were married. So when we first married, so I used to do hashgachas, and I was mashgiach in a hotel in the city, the fanciest of the fanciest hotels in the world, and there was a couple from Antwerp. He was from Antwerp, and they were from here, from New York. They made a chasna over 1,000 people. You never saw such a chasna. I mean, mamish, everything, the works in this place. I always like the chab to see the chuppah. You can answer brachas. It's nice. It's a good thing. So I went to see the chuppah, and they called up an alti yid, a rav, a big rav. Now you know, because he's no longer alive. A very chosher of Talmud Chacham. It was one of the brachas. They called him up. He's a famous rav. He walks up there, you know, and he gets up and he gives a krach and he leans against the chuppah. He goes, oi, he gave everybody who went, oi. It was a Rahman, he leaned against the chuppah. The whole chuppah fell down. You never see, and people start screaming. The kala with their legs up in the air. I'm not exaggerating, the kala with their legs up in the air. The chasn nebuch got a cut over here, he's bleeding. And the only one that was fine was the roof. He's standing going, oi, oi, he's crying, the rug is standing. Everybody else is buried under the flowers and the whole thing. And I'm running there, we're trying to pull people out. And the kala's, everything's torn, and her veil. And I'm thinking, she was working on this veil for 6 months, and they tried on every veil in the world. And now the veil's like on the back of her head. And the makeup is like all this makeup. She hired the most chosh of a lady in the world to put on the eyeshadow and the lipstick and this and that. And now it's like, you know, it's all over the place. Everything's crazy. And the rabbi's standing there, you know, and people were laughing, crying. It was the most bizarre thing I ever saw. Laughing. And this the family's crying and the oilman is laughing. And then Hatzolah had to take the photographer, got the lens in his eye. And they, yeah, Hatzolah had to come. And the oilman is like, and I was thinking, Mam, Mr. Gemara says that this world is kevei hilula is a chasna. That's what the whole thing is, in 1 second. And you know how everything was timed then. And if, God forbid, somebody wouldn't have walked out when they played the first note, then, so then, you know, Ben Yakeli or something, it would have been the Kalu, would have been. And I saw already this Kalu was opening a big mouth before the chuppah. That was a separate story, how she was talking to her mother. You know, sometimes the Mashgiach, like he walks around, he's not only Mashgiach on the food. The way she spoke to her mother was pachad. And I was thinking, she was so makpid in everything, this girl. You should have seen the hakpada she had. And yelling at everybody. Well, she was carrying on this kala. Mamish hakpadas. Her mother, all afraid of her. And under the chuppah, she's there with her feet up in the air. Everything's like that. Al-Dustafam. The whole world is kibegilul. The whole world is a chasna. The whole world is a chasna. And the Uno is so serious. So, what's the nafki minute? So, afterwards, he says, that's what he says. Look what he says about this. He says, v'lo manyein, v'lo chosh b'chlal. What happened? What was the chasna then? This doesn't make a difference. These are the children. They're happily married with God's help. And that's it. Aval d'shas ma'isa, but when you're in the wedding, oh, azay hareiz em neiru neiroiz. Awesome. The most awesome thing. Mazay Samaris, if you would have come to the wedding hall and there'd be a wedding going on in your place, Mazay Samaris, we're not talking about Stam, there's not a Vart, it's a Chasna we're supposed to be making here tonight. And the people would yell at the caterer, how could you ruin my children's Simcha? How could you ruin our Simcha? All kinds of times that were coming to the mind and the heart. Who cares? Who remembers? And as I said last week, it'll probably turn out to be the sweetest chasna, and probably the one that took place in the other place was nicer, and it could be they even had a better time. Who knows? Who cares? What difference does it make? That's all part of what this sentence in the Gemara says. This world is like a wedding. And when you're at that thing, you think that that person said this, or thinks this, or this happened to me, or this didn't happen to me, or I made this dollar, I didn't make this dollar, wow, neira neira, it's like the whole universe surrounding this thing. Who cares? When we're 120, there's not the slightest, there's not one memory of any of the Nairishkeit. And all the person thinks about, all the person remembers is, did he ever do a good thing in his life? He's trying to search around for mitzvahs and masim tovim, and for a little bit of tikkun amidus, a little bit of shmir seinayim, a little bit of learning, a little bit of davening. That's all people scrounging around for at the end of their lives, to try to gather up a little bit to show the Baruch Shalom. This is what I could show you. And all those other things that a person made such big deal about. You think that's the end of the world. If something doesn't go exactly the way that you planned, doesn't make a difference. That's how it is in this world. All the nisyanis that we have to get angry, not to get angry, and so on and so forth. Each person, his age, and so on. At the time that you're going through this and you feel like getting angry, it looks like this is like the most chashuva thing in the world. It looks like this is the biggest thing. Like your whole life depends upon what's happening that moment in this quarrel or whatever it is. There's a mafri and it bothers you, v'kayiv, and it hurts you. V'niyim shvurim v'atzum, you come tzibrachim and sad. Avot tzorach lachshav l'amis, but you have to think about the truth. That's what it means, yishrei lev simcha. That's the yashvus. Sheikol ha'dvarim ha'ela hemerei mamish klum. Mamish klum, kinna, the covet, jealousy, and covet, and kapdonas being makbid, v'shar hamidus, l'kol echad yesh sug achash l'agnes nefesh v'chalisha sadas, that a person has in this world. On the left-hand column, where it's around 10 lines down, where it says Baruch Nis V'Gashmis on top. You see where it says Baruch Nis V'Gashmis, the first two words? Baruch Nis V'Gashmis. After footnotes raised to sign, it says Baruch Nis V'Gashmis. Lebocha Zeh Yochelias Mechaveim. A bocha can have, you know, especially young people, whether they fit into the chevra or not. Try to think back when we were teenagers, when we were younger, and whether or not you were part of that chevra, or you felt like you were left out of that chevra. And at that time, we thought like that's the end of the world. If I wasn't invited to this thing that the chevra went somewhere, if I'm not part of the chevra, it's like the end of the world. And it's the biggest thing. And the kids have so much akmas nefesh. The bachrim and the girls have so much akmas nefesh, especially with the girls when it comes to being part of a group and being in that clique and fitting in. And the bachrim also, but the akmas nefesh that they have, and may Torah with parents and not getting along, Achim v'Achayis and brothers and sisters, Mechavrusas with the Chavrusim, Maggid Shir with the Rebbe, all these things, the average Yechel is Mishpacha, a young person, a young married man might have the Mishpacha, but the in-laws could be called the Yilad, the Mishchenim, neighbors, children, the Alter and Gaman, it could be the Alter Yid, is Yechel Yisrael Mechutanim. As they get older, it could be more palm certain in Yonim, but Mechutanim, they become like the biggest thing in the world. Mechasna got the kinder, or from children that are already married, you have problems. Every age, every time we go through the nisyon, turn the page, we'll read it in the Hebrew, Reish Yutes on the bottom. That's what it meant in Sefer Bereishis when it says, "Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam." This is the book of the generations of man, meaning that you and I have to live through certain things in this world, and those are what we have, those are the things that we live through at different ages of our lives, different times, different degrees of Akmas Nefesh and Nisyanis, when we're younger and we're older. This is the book of our generations, meaning of our lives. Every one of us can write a whole book. The Kol HaMaisi is Sha'ivim HaKolechet, from all the things that we experienced. What they all share is to the degree that a person lifts himself up and becomes an Adam Pnimi. This is what we're missing most in our generation. In our parents, grandparents, even Jews that were Pshutim. Simple Jews that could barely read a Pasuk from Rashi. But what? But there were people who were pnimiyim, that the important things in life counted. And the things that were not important were not important. And to be an Adam pnimi, Mezoichim kol hazman, and to remember all the time, Ani shliach, I was sent here for something. Yeshli tachlis b'kol rega v'chayim, every moment of my life there's tachlis. B'kol nisayin, in every test that I'm going through. But call matzav, every matzav him kain ma'ich pasli mikol ha'shtuyas. So what do I care about all this shtusim? Nairishkeit. Mazim ishanali kol ha'avolim. What difference does it make to me all these silly things? Mazim ha'geyelai. How does it affect me? Ma'ich pasli in nidmali sha'af echelu mistakalai. What difference does it make to me if it seems that no one pays any attention to me? If no one pays it, I just read that the Chavos Chaim, when he was finishing up Mishneh Berurah, and his son, Rabbi Aryeh Leib, was working a lot together with the Chafetz Chaim on the Sefer Mishneh Berurah. And when they put in years and years of the most unbelievable hard work to put together the Mishneh Berurah. So Rabbi Aryeh Leib, the Chafetz Chaim's son, said when they were finishing, he said to his father, he said, do you think that anybody will ever appreciate what you and I have put into together the Mishneh Berurah? Chavos Chaim was very disappointed. He couldn't believe he said that. He said, what difference does it make if anybody even knows that we did it? The point is that there will be Jews that hopefully will be able to be more observant of halacha when they learn this. And he couldn't believe that his son says something. What difference is it? Like Chavos Chaim said, what difference does it make if anybody even knows that we did it or cares how much work that we put in? And yet, there could be a vart, a lechaim, a shavu brachas, and everybody would like, if possible, nobody would do it, to write like their name on every napkin that they put in place. This napkin was placed by Shpinza Chaya HaKohen, if it were possible. And we don't. We said, no, it was nothing for me, it was nothing, I'm glad to do it, I don't want anybody to know about it. But Anderson, that's what he says. And what difference does it make if they didn't help you? People should have helped you more than they didn't help you. They didn't help you. They should have helped you more. Or they didn't thank you enough. Or they don't listen to you. They don't pay enough attention to what I'm saying, what I'm asking. What difference does it make? He says it's mamish nothing. So, but now on top. The second line on top on the right hand side. These things happen all different ages in life. We're moving. Obviously, it's impossible. It's impossible to go into detail into all of the kidneys that a person goes through, and all different things that a person experiences in life. But what does Hashem want? He wants each and every one of us to search within ourselves, to try to be honest and to know how the Yetzer Hara is trying to confuse us. us, ulevakish mashemes baruch sheyoyev heinayim, and to daven rebbein shalom, open my eyes. Liros ezer devarim shel mabakach marfim. So help me to see that this is nothing, that this thing which is bothering me is a davar shel mabakach, that rebbein shalom, help me to see the truth, that it's nothing. It's a davar shel mabakach. Mamish klum. And really, it doesn't mean anything. And what does mean something? So we're going to have to skip, it's getting late. Look, Resh Chav Gimel. Note Resh Chav Gimel down below. And what should a person think about and really concentrate on? The things that are important, ask Hashem, we should ask Hashem to help us. Lishmo al Habayis, help us when it comes to the house. The house doesn't mean the curtains or the tiles. It means what? Al Yeladim, the children. That's, of course, what's important. The Chabayimah, Hakol Zahre Devarim Niflaim. Ah! When it comes to these things, these are Dvarim Niflaim. Dvarim Niflaim. Zahari has Simcha Gedala B'Yosef. The greatest joy. That's the greatest Simcha. A child says Aleph Beis to have a Jewish family. These are the most important things. These are the things that really give Simcha. V'shar kol anyanim mamish klum. And don't let the other things bother you. Kfi mashe zoichim, the next page. Kfi mashe zoichim l'hismalos yosrim kerech ha'neshama. L'ich yosrim ha'neshama. The more that a person is able to live with the neshama, to live in that way with the neshama, with that pnimius, kach zoichim liyosei simcha, and then that's how a person is able to have more simcha. Look at Reish Chavdal. We'll continue in the Hebrew on the bottom. Kfi mashe adam yosei god, kfi mashe yosei mugba mikitnis. The higher person is some small things. Kachu mola yosei simcha. The more joy he has. The Balatan used to say about Rabbi Shlomo the Kalina. The Tan used to say that Rabbi Shlomo Kalina, he is one tefach off the earth. Everybody else is on the ground. Rabbi Shlomo Kalina is one tefach. You know, tefach, a little bit. He's one tefach off the ground. And that's why Rabbi Shlomo Kalina was constantly singing, was constantly besimcha. He was one tefach off the ground. And that makes all the difference. Because the person is mole simcha. Ki olam hazem mole imatzus. Because this world, and if you're stuck, and if you're heavy footed and you're stuck in this world, it's mole atzmus, it's filled with sadness. And all reasons to be sad. Every single day you could think of a million reasons to be upset. A million things that are going to cause you to get sad every day. Everything should be good. What's wrong? What's so terrible? Other people would be so jealous of you. Other people would be. Our ancestors, if they would look at the lives that most of us are able to have, they would say, well, for this you're sad? Even the simplest things that they couldn't take for granted, just to prepare a meal. Prepare a meal. And if something, can you imagine if something is wrong, how upset we get? In our house, always Erev Yontif, things stop working. I don't know about you. The sinks start to flow, overflow. The oven stops. It's always Erev Yontif, Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif. The whole thing about having, these are all conveniences. These are all amazing conveniences that we've gotten used to and comfortable with. Look, mom's conveniences. These are things to make life more pleasant. But you understand that if the air conditioning doesn't work, and we spoke about this a little bit, and then we had the blackout, so they were talking on the radio, you would think that, God forbid, there was some sort of a milchama. And we're going to make it, New Yorkers are strong. What kind of strong? Well, that's for that, you need strength, to be able to light a candle and to be able to perspire for a few hours. And the way they were talking on the radio, you would think that it was like some, who knows what. A gelechta mamish. I remember I was talking to my father about it. My father said, you know, we were laughing. My father said, this is like, New York is going through this time, and New Yorkers have what it takes to make it, and we're going to make it. Make what? It's dark. If there are people in hospitals, that's a serious thing. For those people, it's not a serious. Doctors who need to do things, respirators, that's serious. But they're not walking on the street, they're getting home, they're having to walk over the bridge, and like everybody's a hero because they walked over the bridge and it's 90 degrees. The plus is, so what? So what? It's like the most heroic thing to be able to sit for an hour without an air conditioner. Sometimes you're coming here, you're coming to a shul for, last night I thought it was pretty cool. You're walking right away, boom, starts turning on the air conditioner. What for? It shouldn't be even the slightest unpleasant. It wasn't even unpleasant. Maybe you could say, because the last night was cool, because you could say that it was a little stuffy, right away, all the bachem, what's going to be, one, turn on the things are high, and of course no one will turn it off when they leave. That's for sure not. Everybody walks out, every light on, all the air conditioners on. That's not a bazunda mice. But you know, what's the big deal? Not for 5 minutes. So when they had the blackout in New York City, you would think that it was Khalil, like some kind of a terrible, terrible tragedy. With the exception of the old people are scared. Well, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Stam. This world is mole atzvus, and reasons to make ourselves upset, and reasons to feel that we're going through terrible, terrible sorrows. Therefore, the more that a person lives with Olam Haba, The more you're an Olam Habadik person and you live with the things that are really tachlis, the more you live in that place of Kisamecha Yitzircha B'Ganayim Mekadim, with the Simcha of Ganayim Mekadim, with that joy of above this world. To the degree that we lift ourselves up above a world that is filled with fighting and filled with lies, you have more shalom. I'm reading now this biography of Rav Pam, that there was nothing you could say to Rav Pam that would ever cause him to lose his, that would ever cause him to lose like his simcha and his calmness. His grandson, in the book it says that his grandson, I don't know if he went in or somebody from the Mishpacha went in to tell Rav Pam. Rav Pam was sitting and learning, and one of the members of the family was sent in to tell Rav Pam that the test came back that showed that he has that he's terminally ill and that his days are numbered. So it says in the book, I just read it today, that they came into Rav Pam, this family member came in and was so nervous. He came to Rav Pam. Rav Pam was learning, and he said he told Rav Pam, he told whatever his uncle, his grandfather, and Rav Pam nodded and said thank you, and it said, he said it's as if you'd have just told him the days of other report, and then he just continued learning. He said there wasn't, and the rest of the day, he said they didn't speak to anybody about it, he didn't say a word about it, and he said thank you, and continued. It's hard to believe such a thing. But when a person is living, all the stories about Rav Pam are the same, are that same, he just was who he was, and there was nothing to shake him up, nothing. Talk about Hakpadis, I know the next few minutes, about Hakpadis, it says like this, somebody went to ask Rav Yaakov, how do you touch up Rav Pam? What's his greatness, Rav Pam? So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky knew him very well. They were in Torah Vedas together. They were all the years. So Rabbi Yaakov said like this, if I would go right now with you, and I would go to Rav Pam and say, Rav Avram, I need you to teach Aleph Beis this coming Zaman in Yeshiva, instead of the highest Shir, the Yerodei, or whatever Beis Medrash. I need you to teach Aleph Beis. Rav Pam would say immediately, fine. It wouldn't even be a thing to him, Aleph Beis. So then it says that this person went and said this conversation. He told Rav Pam that he spoke to Rabbi Yaakov and said that. And Rav Pam said, of course. Rav Pam said, if the yeshiva, Rabbi Yaakov asked me to teach, of course, anything the yeshiva needs me. Could you imagine, like with one of the haitika, like, you know, these little Rosh Yeshiva, look, if you'd give him such a thing, to take him down one notch from 12th grade to 11th grade, it would be a milchemes oylem ashlishis. I know. I've seen this. I've tried to make shalom in these situations, and it's milchemes oylem. I have the shiur, I have a chazoka, me. And Rav Pam, you can go and say, from teaching Yerideya, to go to Aleph Beis, and Rav Yaakov said, that's Rav Pam. And that was it, that's who he was. Because what? He said, because I'm teaching Yiddish Kinder, that's what I love to do. And he did, by the way, in his life, teach all different grades. He did teach Aleph Beis, he said. He said, and I enjoyed it very much. And he said, I had such nachas when a boy started to be able to read Aleph Beis and to read from the Siddur. I have just as much joy and pleasure as I have teaching the Shiur. That's not a Mahabadik person. It's almost impossible. Anybody in Chinuch understands that this is such a hard thing. What goes on in schools, the maneuvering, who teaches what, and which class, and what. And it's such a hard thing. That's why Palm was like above the fray. It's a different way of thinking. And that's why he was always besimcha. His wife said, the Rebbetzin said, that he was always besimcha. You know, you can't make believe when it comes to your wife. He was always besimcha. That's how he lived. That's why I was saying about Rav Shlomo Kalina, if you can lift yourself up even a little bit, an inch, right? The cup of salvation that David Melch was talking about. What does it mean, the kais yeshuas? The hold up the cup. When is your cup full? When is the kais yeshuas? Nishba yidei esa. Kais yeshuas, how do you, what is the cup of salvation? If you can live in this way of what? Esa, which means I lift myself up. That's the biggest yeshua that a Jew could have. You're never going to fix it. You're going to get all the liyas you want. You're never going to fix it. The chasen is going to be the way you want. Or the mechutanim should be perfect. Or this should be perfect. That should be the way. But one thing you could always do is essa. Essa means I lift myself up. When you lift yourself up, that's the biggest yeshua. That's what he's saying. Vayidezen nishpa brocha v'simcha. Continue. Kvima shemarb lahagish ma'ikka matofel. The more a person feels what's the ikka, what's important, what's not important. Kach mismalam yoisim simcha. To that degree, a person is filled more and more and more simcha. Let's just finish up on page Kuf Mem Hey, the left hand column. We'll go very quickly. On Kuf Mem Hey, yeah, the left hand column. The second paragraph. Achenk, b'chol inyani avodas Hashem, yedem achshav v'dib ma'aseh b'sumer v'asei tov, yedem mashu yoyseh amzav v'tila, any little bit of an effort that I put more into davening, v'bachon l'tfin, prepare myself, kol tipushal z'garbus v'sapkus, b'chol inyani amidus, any little bit that I hold back from saying something, I hold back from getting angry, v'chol inyani ben odom l'chaver, v'chol chesed, any chesed that I do, any little chesed, kol good virtue, any good morning that you say to somebody, any pleasant word that you say to someone, any second that you give another Jew a good feeling about himself, kol sever panim yofis, even if you don't say anything, just to give someone a smile, to show somebody a smile, just to talk to our children about smiling to everybody, and giving a, when you smile to another Jew, you give a person a good feeling. Anything you could do to make a Jew more besimcha, or to make life easier for a Jew, whether in the house, whether with friends, older children, young children, any little drop that I make myself more pure, my language, my mouth is cleaner, my eyes are better, is a rechush otzim, an invaluable possession, an invaluable rechush neira eitzus genusim eitzus tmunim, hidden treasures mamish rechush. Next page, eitzus kuf mem vav shirak bezeha olam efshalak nice, and only in this world can you acquire all of these possessions, all of this wealth can only be acquired in this world. That's the only place you can gather all of this wealth. Chatoif acholik, the Gemara says, chap and eat. Chatoif is to say drink, meaning Torah mitzvahs. The Adumi Hagrom, you know from the Vilna Gaon, Shomalif Nistalkuso, that what the Vilna Gaon said before he died, Shahokhlam Oilam Yakar Kazer, and the Vilna Gaon was holding on to his tzitzis, and he said, Gevalt, we're leaving such a precious world that for a few pennies you could do such mitzvahs like tzitzis you could buy. Shem Shabakal Lachtev Kolkar Harbe, when is what, Milepta Zoy. In other words, we have to remember, he says, to live this way, like the Vilna Gaon said at the end of his life, that we're mamish gevirim, we're the richest people in the world, we're rich, mamish rich, and keseda, we could add on more and more every day. My parents might have left me treasures in below, buried in the ground, but I have treasures in Shemaim. Every mitzvah, every good word is a treasure in Shemaim. Okay, like I said, a moisiv zayin a gevald bli shir bli gvul bli asogim meilev et ben full mit simcha, that makes you filled with simcha, and in meile from a vek the ala atzvus and hageshim shem hippach simcha, and that takes away immediately all of the things that are the opposite of simcha, all the things that are causing us to be tzibrochen, to be hurt and to be broken. And this, and I know it's late, and I'm sorry. So we'll have to finish up. Really, there's a lot of geshmaka things that are still here, but we have to finish up. The end over here, he explains that when a person thinks about this, all the tzaras that are, it's just a little bit to read, just a little one more paragraph. When a person thinks about this, how much easier he's able to handle, how much easier, God forbid, the tzaras become and his peklich become. Ubefrat, he says, "Michaz is in good." He says, "Good." And in when a yid at the shver tkufa and a shver tog or the shver avach v'chadayim beberuchnis or begashmis a shver nisayin u'mustav l'schazik b'yamuna b'tochen. When a person is going through a difficult day or a week, God forbid, a difficult time in his life, and he tries to strengthen himself with emunah b'tochen, they believe with all of his heart that everything is latayva, and the sweetest and most precious light is dafka, the one that comes out from the darkness. And if you believe with all of your heart that any difficulty you go through in life is filled with unbelievable tayv that Hashem has for you, that Hashem prepared for you, that dafka you need to go through this and it's for your good, and latayva is called adar, not only for you but for all your children, your grandchildren, that should come out from this. And it goes on a few lines later to say that's what it means when the Torah is written, Eish chayra gabi eish levana, the Torah is a black fire upon a white fire, which means even when you go through times in life and there are black times, you have to believe with all of your heart that underneath the black times it's all a white fire, it's all that the Baruch Shalom has something prepared for you, that the Baruch Shalom has something ready for you, that and therefore every little drop of chizik and every little drop of a mood that a person has gives him that ability to go on that simcha. Just let's read Reish Mem in the footnote, and I'll tell you a short story, and that'll be it. Reish Mem, Lefamim on the bottom, whom a chuzik, lefamim noifum is ever. I feel kasher chizik b'chal lemazik mamadavol. Im ha'adam mishtadel is chazik. If a person tries to be mechazik himself, who mishtadel lelo has niach v'loy lipol, he tries not to slip, not to fall, not to become depressed, or sad, or broken. Azai is a mamish adova ha'godov ha'otzim v'anizga b'yoyse. That's the most amazing and greatest thing. Shiyoch aliyas b'alna could be in this entire world. That a person is mechazik himself in a difficult time. Zahari ha'ruchush ha'godov b'yoyse. That's the greatest possession. That's the greatest treasure that a person can ever get. During those moments when a person strengthens himself with amun and bitachon, he's going through a hard time. At those moments, Avinu Shebashamayim, the Rebbeinu Shemayim, our Father, Mevi is Kol HaPamal Yishamala, he brings all of the angels, Vaimel, and he says to all of the angels, Bo v'tiru es abonim ha'yikomshim, look at my precious children. Chazu, chazu, bonai, bonai. Look at my children. Shininsoim bedor kol kach halash. They're living in such a weak generation. V'toshush v'dal, an impoverished generation. In ke'elu koshim atzum, they have such hardships and difficulties. V'heim menasim mishtadlim l'schazik, and they're still trying to be mechazik themselves. Kol mashu ishtadlis matzah, because every drop of ishtadlis in these situations, that is the greatest, greatest possible ruchush that a Jew can ever gather, that he could ever gather in his entire life. So we're getting ready. So we're getting ready for Rosh Hashanah. Now I'll tell you a ma'ase. It takes a minute. It's a famous story. I was just thinking about it before we started. That Moshe Kabrinus Chusigim used to say before Tkiyah Shofar for this ma'ase. Every year before the Kishoy, if you told over the Maisa, he said, many stories go this way. He said that the Tsar, he had a son, a beloved son, his only son, and it turned out that the son did something that was absolutely terrible. He started a rebellion against his father. It was terrible, and the Tsar decreed that there's no special privileges, and that to start such a thing, a rebellion against the father. So the father Paskin, the king Paskin, the Tsar Paskin, that his son has to be executed, he has to be put to death. And that anybody who even comes to try to say a Malam Eschus, who tries to come to the king said, the Tsar said, if anybody comes to even talk to me about it, I'm going to kill him too. So that was it. So the day came for the execution, and it happened, a mazel. The Tsar was going with some of his people, and they were going past the place that it wasn't a place of execution, but the way that they used to do it is that they would make the one who was being executed walk a long thing. That was part of the thing, to go a long way and to walk to the gallows. And it happened that the king was coming there and his son was being taken to the gallows. The king still loved his son. So the king said to his son, there's nothing I could do, and no matter how much you ask me, this is already paskened that you have to be put to death. And I'm sorry, but this is what has to be. So the son said, he said, Your Majesty, he said, Father, I was already mekabel that. I already accepted that. If that's the decree, if that's the sentence, mekabel. But one thing I'm asking you, he says that there's still another mile or two till we get to the gallows. Give me the schus, the privilege to run in front of you, my father, and to say, Hamelech, Hamelech, Hamelech. And when the king, and he did that, and when the king saw his son doing that, so the king's heart was overflowing with love and with compassion, and he took his son back to him and they lived happily ever after. That's what Mershul Karini used to say before Tkiyah Shofar. What does it mean? It means it comes Rosh Hashanah. The main thing when it comes to Yom Tov, a person says Rosh Hashanah, Mi l'chaim, mi l'mavis, mi b'kitzam, mi likud, mi b'esh, mi b'mayim. Everybody has daggers. We're all afraid. We're all nervous. We're all worried. There are different things that each one of us has in our hearts and our minds. But that's not what Rosh Hashanah is about. We need Rosh Hashanah that a person is able to even come to a high place, like we've been told, to come to such a place where a person is able to say, you know, whatever the din is, you know, that's whatever it is, I don't know, whatever the din is, but give me this day, give me this time to say HaMelech. That if this is the Malchus, and this is Kreid HaMalchus, I just want to be an Eved HaMelech, and to be able to say HaMelech with all of my heart. And then when that happens, on Rosh Hashanah, the Baruch Shalom's heart melts. and with all of our things and all of our problems and all of our avarice and all of our different kapedas and inyanim and whatever it is. So when the Baruch Shem sees that we run before him, we're saying Hamelech, Hamelech. So then the heart of the king melts and he gives us another year. He gives us another year, a good year, to be able to try to make it better than this past year and to work on ourselves, that we should be closer to the king. And the schus of being the last few remaining servants of the king in the world since the beginning of time, that the Baruch Shalom should forgive us for everything and should give each and every one of us with all of Klai Yisrael. It should be a good kibben shtiyur for each and every one of you to have nachas from children, from grandchildren, from ourselves, that there should be shalom in each and every home, and that Bez Hashem, that we should be zayche mit Hashem to return to the place where we belong, that all of us should be able mit Hashem I know I daven for this last time and it was still in the Catskills, but we should be zayche mit Hashem that we should be able to learn together in Yerushalayim in good health. Everybody should be nechtov v'nechtam la'alta l'chaim sifim shel tzadikim for a good and healthy year, good givens year.